When the paper's there in front of you, let's begin with the power of the Word of God. And I invite you to read along with me what's at the top of your paper, all of us aloud together. Be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Let's do it again. Be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Randy Blankenship finished our year of 2011 with a victory cry that we can and we must and we will be victorious. Have you lived in victory over the last several weeks? I trust that you have. We can and we will and we must be victorious over sin and death, hell, the devil, and anything else you want to be in victory over. Don't you love a good victory speech? I mean, thinking about being in an arena or in a place, a locker room, or the best victory speech that you've ever heard that said, hey, let's go out and take it. Let's win this thing. Let's be courageous. One that pumps you up from deep down in your soul to help inspire you to go places that you didn't think you could go and to have courage that you didn't think you have, to face fear that you didn't know was there, and the things that seek to annihilate your courage. Well, I have the honor to begin our time together here this winter, 2012, and I hope as I try to kick things off here today, I don't shank one into the stands and drop the ball in your chili, as you've seen that commercial. So, it is my desire to call us again to think of the meaning of a man. What is a man? What's your definition of what a man is? And are you becoming the man that you intend to be? We spent the fall looking at the Son of Man, the man Christ Jesus, the man of men, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the author of your salvation. He's the warrior against your sin and death and hell and the devil. He's the friend of sinners like you and me. And He's the finisher of your faith, so that He could be touched with the feelings of your sin and my sin. He could be touched with the sense of our own brokenness, and yet without sin, He entered into the holy place to capture and win victory over sin for all time. So that you and I can no longer need to be slaves to sin, to slaves to the own broken condition, and that we can become what we need to be. Are you clear on who Jesus is? Are you clear on who Jesus Christ is? And are you clear on what you can become because of God's help? Man, there are some people in the world around us who think they know what you should be. You know any of those? Folks that think they know what you should be. And early on, some of us get under the pressure of, hey, you need to be a sportsman. Or others, maybe an educated man. For some of you studs out there, you were a ladies' man. For some of you tough guys, you were a man's man. For some of you really fully developed guys, you are a Renaissance man. And there's a few of you out there, there's a few gentlemen. We may be trapped in the ideas of what your father or your mother thought you should be. You may now feel the pressure to be what your wife thinks you should be, or your boss thinks you should be, or your golfing buddies, or your bowling buddies, or your hunting buddies. But I want to know, and I want all of us to know, and be clear on this one thing. God has a plan for what you should be. And that's really something that's very personal. It's very personal with you and Him. The tendency is to be pressured and pressurized by what others think. So this here time together, these Wednesday lunches where we have this 20-minute talk to kick things off and a 20-minute table discussion is to help us get clear on the man. The man. And if we know the man, we can be a man that God wants us to be. It was right here on this floor that I met a man when I was about 30 years old. His name was Warren Cox. Warren Cox We'd sit over there waiting for the next game real early in the morning. We played at 5:30. I know for some of you that's really ungodly. But we'd sit over there, right there on that bench, waiting for the next game. And I remember the first day that Warren Cox leaned over to me and he had his wallet and he took it out of his pants pocket and he opened it up. And right there in the pictures go, there was a picture of Jesus Christ. And he leaned over to me, and this is what he said. Here, he's the man. I'll never forget. He's the man. Every once in a while, we'd go out to breakfast or whatever else, and Warren would lean over, and he'd flip out that wallet and say, he's the man. Warren has since gone on to be with the Lord. But I'll never forget him reminding me, he's the man. Our dear friend and mentor, Jesse Dunn, was sitting right over there this time last year. He's with the man. Somebody in this room, you or I, we're not going to be sitting here this time next year. Contrary to what the Mayans think, that December the 21st, we're all going to be out of here, which, whether it is or isn't, is really immaterial. All of us are going to be out of here at some point, one way or the other. Brother Mike Bulliger reminded us that at the beginning of this season. We thank God He's still here. But none of us know the day nor the hour. Some of you already are facing things that are life-threatening. You know it. It's in your body. They've told you. You have a chronic disease that will take your life. Every one of us have a chronic disease that will take our lives. Some of us know it and some of us don't. But we better be clear between here and there as to what we need to be. I ran across a book in college that somebody gave me. I wish I understood its principles and applied it since then. I'd be a whole lot further than I am right now. It was a book entitled Man of Steel and Velvet. I was dating a young girl at that time who had caught my attention, and I was a long way from steel and velvet, I can promise you that. I was a whole lot better salesman because I sold her. I tell her often, I don't know what that made her. But in that book, in the first part of it, this Man of Steel and Velvet, hear what we need to be clear about. About the clarity of the need in our day and time. Our crucial times require men of strong minds, kind hearts, and willing hands. Men who will find joy in labor. Men of courage, honor, and strong opinions, clear minds, and high goals. Men who are not afraid of great responsibility. Men who can become dedicated to a task and will surrender their own selfish desires and pursuits to a life of service. Men whose word is as good as their bond. But along with this fiber of steel, there must be a gentle nature. We need men who can appreciate a sunrise or a sunset. Men who love their families with passion and honor. Men who adore womanhood, yet dislike weakness or coyness. We need men with compassion, sensitive to the needs of the less fortunate. Men who are tender with their wives and children. Men who have developed an ability to love. Fulfillment does not come, as many suppose, by recognition, honors, money, security, material goods, or sexual fulfillment. Although these attainments contribute greatly to a man's feeling of well-being, his greatest fulfillment comes in being a man. This goal is attainable, regardless of one's station in life. We step back here at Huddle, and we have committed as an organization of men who gather on these Wednesdays to simply focus on where life's game plan unfolds. And once we establish the clarity of what we are seeking to do, that it's just about the man, then we have to get honest. We have to take a hard look in the mirror and we have to stop forgetting what we looked like there. See, God doesn't hold up the mirror of His Word to shame you, guilt you, beat you, punish you, unless you and I refuse to confess to Him what we aren't. We have to get to the place in our lives where we let Him step into our lives and take away our guilt, to take away our ruin, to take away pride, to take away our self-centeredness and our self-management. And then you prove and I prove that when we get honest and we are honest, we can present ourselves as men of integrity. Integrity, again, is when the outside me and the inside me are so close that you can't distinguish the two. We need to be men of integrity. For our honesty is our freedom. We have to be first honest with ourselves. It's tough, because we forget what manner of men we are so quickly. It's easy for us to get distracted on what everybody else isn't, rather than staying focused on what the man I need to be and becoming that man. You can find 1,000 reasons why you can't become that man. But God says, look, get honest. And then the purpose of our gatherings together is to be a pooling opportunity for us to come alongside one another and say, hey man, we can. Come on, man. Stop letting your highlight reel be hanging you up where people can stand back and criticize your effort. While God says, listen, I'm here to improve your effort for the kingdom. Because if you're living your life to just say, God, all I'm doing is being pleasing to you. That's my sole aim. And if you fall on the field of play, God's going to pick you up. For the righteous man falls 7 times, yet rises again. But the wicked man falls in the day of calamity and is ruined. The measure of our success this year will not be how many bad highlight films we show. The message will be, how many times did I get back up? Get clear. Get honest. Bishop T.D. Jakes, in his book, Loose That Man and Let Him Go, makes a statement about what it is to be afraid. And he says this about masculinity. We have fallen in love with the empty symbols of masculinity, the faint suggestions of manhood provided by our jobs, our cars, our guns, and our women. We use them to validate and vindicate our bruised and fragile egos. We are offended and dismayed because the times have changed without us. When did we lose so much control? When did it go? How do we regain it? Whose fault is it? Like Adam, we may point a finger and say, she made me do it, or the devil made me do it. Let's be honest. We are afraid of losing our jobs. We are afraid of aggressive women who are pushing us out of line for a promotion or opportunity. We mourn our dying sense of aggression and fear our growing sense of passivity. We are afraid of age and change and time, and many of us are wrestling desperately with midlife crises. The lion of masculinity has lost much of its roar. He is angry and he is violent. Masculinity is being redefined without our permission. And we have become like pussycats who are afraid to face their fears in a dark room. Most threatening of all, like our ancestor Adam before us, we are afraid of our God. Our sin is uncovered and our guilt has driven us into the bushes to hide. We are dangerously out of touch with our children. We have told them, I don't know, ask your mother. So many times they have given us a bill of divorcement from the parenting game. We have acted as though we don't want to play, so our children have taken their marbles and gone to find more willing mentors. Our actions have removed us from the decision-making process in our own homes. Lazarus, wake up! And with those things in mind, get clear on the man. Get honest with where each of us is individually. Get honest with yourself and get honest with a brother in Christ who can hold you accountable. to the areas that you need to grow to becoming the man that God wants you to be. Not even him to be. Men, Randy called us to victory. And this book that we're going to embark upon, and I challenge you to read it, the value of the book is best measured in page 63. And if you can get to that and understand those principles, it will liberate your thinking as to what kind of men I believe God calls us to be from His Word. But here at the beginning of this year, that might end with some of us not here, I challenge you to think once again. In the closing scene of the movie Braveheart, William Wallace is having a discussion with the Queen. She comes to plead with him concerning his forward course of action and his resolve to die for what he believes in. She comes and says, "Sir, I've come to beg you to confess all and swear allegiance to the king that he might show you mercy." William responds, "Will he show mercy to my country?" And Isabella the queen says, "Mercy is to die quickly, perhaps even live in a tower. In time, who knows what could happen if you cannot believe?" William says, "If I swear to him, then all that I am is dead already." Isabella says, "You will die and it will be awful." But he closes with, "Every man dies, but not every man really lives." Every man dies, but not every man really lives. I challenge us to be a men of vision and character and to become for our community a men who can be recognized as kings in their own right. I challenge us to be men of strength and power and become to our world a warrior for righteousness, wars against evil, both internal and external. I challenge us to be men of faith and wisdom and to become to your sphere of influence a mentor that your life is worthy of emulation and worthy of following. And I challenge us to be men of heart and love, to become to God a friend, and for us to become a friend of sinners and a friend of one another, that we can stand beside one another locked in arms to say, "I'm here for you and with you, my brother. When you fall, I will fall. When you weep, I will weep. I will be to you a friend who loves at all times and a brother who is born for adversity." Join us this semester. Join in the journey of becoming the man that God has called you to be: king, warrior, mentor, friend. God, that's the man I want to be. And Lord, those are the men I want to hang out with. I want us to be noble men who are worthy of the commendation of the Lord, which we've heard before and yet we pursue again. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of our Lord." Oh God, help us. You've been our help in ages past and our hope for years to come. The shelter from the stormy blast and our eternal home. Lord, there is no home outside of you. So whether we're here in our body or absent from the body and present with the Lord, oh God, I pray we'll be true to you. And I'm thankful for these men who are here to consider your place in their lives. Lift them up, strengthen them, encourage them, that they might be the kings, mentors, warriors, friends, that this world needs. In Jesus' name, amen.